nuts be brown, petticoats up, something.
She sighed.
Don't time fly, eh?
Yes.
You know, Bill Dawe, maybe you were right about the power of positive thinking. I feel a lot better tonight.
Yes. Miss Flitworth looked speculatively at the dance floor.
I used to be a great dancer when I was a girl. I could dance anyone off their feet. I could dance down the moon. I could dance the sun up.
She reached up and removed the bands that held her hair in its tight bun and shook it out in a waterfall of white.
I take it you do dance, Mr. Bill Dawe?
Famed for it, Miss Flitworth. Under the band's awning, the lead fiddler nodded to his fellow musicians, stuck his fiddle under his chin, and pounded on the boards with his foot.
One, two, three, four.
Picture a landscape with the orange light of a crescent moon drifting across it, and down below a circle of firelight in the night. There were the old favourites, the square dances, the reels, the whirling, intricate measures which, if the dancers had carried lights, would have traced out topological complexities beyond the reach of ordinary physics. And the sort of dances that led perfectly sane people to shout out things like do-si-do and och-ay without feeling massively ashamed for quite a long time. When the casualties were cleared away, the survivors went on to polka, mazurka, foxtrot, turkey trot, and trot a variety of other birds and beasts, and then to those dances where people form an arch and other people dance down it, which are incidentally generally based on folk memories of executions, and other dances where people form a circle, which are now generally based on folk memories of plagues. Through it all, two figures whirled as though there was no tomorrow. The lead fiddler was dimly aware that, when he paused for breath, a spinning figure tap-danced a storm out of the melee, and a voice by his ear said, "You will continue. I promise you." When he flagged a second time, a diamond as big as his fist landed on the boards in front of him. A small figure sashayed out of the dancers and said,
"If you boys don't go on playing, William Spigot, I will personally make sure your life becomes absolutely foul."
And it returned to the press of bodies. The fiddler looked down at the diamond. It could have ransomed any five kings the world would care to name. He kicked it hurriedly behind him.
"More power to your elbow, eh?" said the drummer, grinning.
"Shut up and play."
He was aware that tunes were turning up at the ends of his fingers that his brain had never known. The drummer and the piper felt it too. Music was pouring in from somewhere. They weren't playing it. It was playing them.
"It is time for a new dance to begin."
"Jerum-da-dum-da-dum,"
hummed the fiddler, the sweat running off his chin as he was caught up in a different tune. The dancers milled around uncertainly, unsure about the steps, but one pair moved purposefully through them at a predatory crouch, arms clasped ahead of them like the bowsprit of a killer galleon. At the end of the floor, they turned in a flurry of limbs that appeared to defy normal anatomy and began the angular advance back through the crowd.
"What's this one called?"
"Tango."
"Can you get put in prison for it?"
"I don't believe so."
"Amazing."
The music changed.
"I know this one. It's the Kermish bullfight dance. Olé!"
"With milk?"
A high-speed fusillade of hollow snapping noises suddenly kept time with the music.
"Who's playing the maracas?"
Death grinned.
"Maracas? I don't need maracas."
And then it was now. The moon was a ghost of itself on one horizon. On the other, there was already the distant glow of the advancing day. They left the dance floor. Whatever had been propelling the band through the hours of the night drained slowly away. They looked at one another. Spigot the fiddler glanced down at the jewel. It was still there. The drummer tried to massage some life back into his wrists. Spigot stared helplessly at the exhausted dancers.
"Well then,"
he said, and raised his fiddle one more time. Miss Flitworth and her companion listened from the mists that were threading around the field in the dawn light. Death recognised the slow, insistent beat. It made him think of wooden figures whirling through time until the spring unwound.
"I don't know that one."
"It's the last waltz."
"I suspect there's no such thing."
"You know," said Miss Flitworth, "I've been wondering all evening how it's going to happen, how you're going to do it. I mean, people have to die of something, don't they? I thought maybe it was going to be of exhaustion, but I've never felt better. I've had the time of me life, and I'm not even out of breath.